once again, we already started talking about it here just a minute ago. We're excited about what God is doing in our church, which is a good prelude into tonight's message from Brother Paul Price. The title of the message is Gideon's 300. That title says a lot. Many of you know the story about Gideon. He started with over 3,000 men. It got narrowed down to 1,500 and ended up with 300 soldiers who are willing to work, who are willing to fight. And that's what our church is about right now. The Lord is shaking us up, and He's getting ready to line us into the battle array, into the battle lines that He wants us so that we can fight effectively and fight efficiently. Is anyone else feeling this? I hope someone else is feeling this anointing as we begin to get into this message. And with that said, I'm going to go ahead and stop talking, and I'm going to let Brother Paul Price do the preaching tonight. We want to thank Brother Jacob Roseberry, who's been so diligent in helping us to upload these messages into our system. And I hope everyone else can feel the Holy Ghost anointing that I am feeling right now. Let me go ahead and begin to play part one of Brother Paul Price, Gideon's 300. Here we go, everybody. Praise God.
Before we read these three verses in here that I have, I need to give you a background of why I'm here in my walk with God and learning of Him, and tell you a little bit about that to help you to see that everybody can have it. For one thing, I've been raised as a child with praying parents. We didn't have a church until I was 18. But my mom and dad was a praying people. They received the Holy Ghost from a man that had received the Holy Ghost 3 weeks. He came over and preached on my grandmother's front porch in Mississippi. And she was a widow woman with 5-6 kids. And from that front porch, he preached this message of the new birth, one God, the coming of the Lord. That was his three thoughts. And he had the people of the little town, about 3,000. He'd have at least 1,000 out there standing up in the grove of trees from her front porch when he preached. If we had that, we'd go bonkers. Oh, he stirred up that town. 55 got the Holy Ghost. My mother and my grandmother was in that group. And then in those days, this man was brand new to the message, and he only felt the burden to come and tell the new people. And he left, and we had no pastor, no church, no nothing. In those days, if you come out of Methodist, bad as a Presbyterian, they kicked you out, and you couldn't come back. So he had a revival, and here's the folks got the Holy Ghost, a brand new thing, and they were persecuted in the area, and now they can't even go back to the other church. Mom and Dad survived it. Many did not. At 18, when God dealt with my heart in a way that I really made my consecration, it was there and then that I changed my life. And I had a pastor, only had one. His name was Brother Earl Toole. Brother Winford Toole, that was in our district, was our secretary for a while. That was his son. But his father was my only pastor I ever had, and I loved him. He saved me. I don't know what I'd done if I didn't have him. I was at that crucial age of 18. I was going over Fool's Hill, and I didn't know what to do about it, and I was acting like a fool. Mom and Dad's praying for me that I'd make it over the hill and somehow get my head straight. But God spoke to me. I was on the outside in a car. I tell this over and over again. Paul told his, I'll tell mine. He said, I was out there asleep because I worked, got late, and got in the car, and it was having a Wednesday night prayer meeting Bible study. I didn't hear a thing that they did in there. But as they went to dismiss, there was a spirit of intercessory prayer that come over them. How many know what intercessory prayer is? And some of our young people probably don't know. There's different ways of praying. Teach us to pray, Lord. There's different ways of praying. But intercessory prayer is a prayer you're praying for others as though you were them. You're putting yourself in their stead, and you're pleading for mercy to save them. Well, there was an intercessor. They didn't know what they were praying for. Just a move of the Spirit in the service. The Lord spoke to me as clear as I've ever heard Him. He said, either you get in or you get out. He wasn't playing around with me, because I had been around the church enough to know, that I was lost like I was, and I'd go to the altar and pray off my feeling and my conviction, pray that God wouldn't kill me before I got right, but I wasn't ready to get right. You know, you play with God for a while, He said, that's enough. But when He said that, speaking in my heart, there was a fear of God that came over me that was different than any fear I've ever had as a human being. I'm fearful of, I'm afraid of high places. I'm afraid of people that are angry and wars and what's all kind of fears. But this was a different kind of fear, friend. I want you to know, when you get the fear of God, it touches every corpuscle in your body. It touches your mind. It touches your emotions. And it leaves a mark on you. And from that day to this, I couldn't go back. I saw my relatives go backslide. It never fazed me. I've been in the ministry for these years. I've seen some of them go back. It never fazed me. I always remember, I don't want to go back to my guilty place as I was in the past. And God help me. Jesus, keep me safe. I don't want to go back into that old world that I come out of. And I didn't know much about the world. My mom and dad wouldn't let me know. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus did something to make me want to know Him better from the very beginning. You don't have just big revelations. And I didn't see any stars. I didn't see any lights. I didn't see all that. I just heard His voice. And then I didn't hear that voice very often. But I began to learn that if you want to hear what God says and thinks, He tells you what He thinks, what He hears, what He knows, and what He wants you to be right out of the book. And except, He told the man in hell, He said, except you will hear Moses and the law, which means here's the book. That's all He had in those days. But He'd say to us, here's the book. According to the record of the book, you're going to be judged by this. If you want to know what's right and wrong, here it is. If you want to know what the Lord likes and He's pleased with, here it is. And I had to get in love with the Word to learn to know Him. You see, man failed in the garden by not obeying the Word. And you can't come back to God till you start obeying the Word where you went out. You hear what I said on that thing? I want you to see that. We, our parents, our forefathers, as it were, Adam and Eve, they went out by disobeying the Word, and you can't come back in until you obey the Word. Think about it. You got to obey the book, the Word, and you've got to learn to obey this book. The thing I began to really notice, number one, was the fact that He encouraged me by reading the Scriptures to observe all things that is written therein. Not just some of it, but all of it. It changed my way of looking at it. We get used to hearing the preacher preach and let him tell us what it is. Look, Bible said, Jesus said, you should search the Scriptures. You should search the Scriptures. You may think you have it, but you may not have it. He said, you search the Scripture. I want you to realize that we're going to get acquainted with the record of the book. Amen. I'm not asking you to read 20 chapters a week. That's fine, but that's not the best way. You need to read that to get an overall view. But really the best way, when you get down to it, is take the verse and do whatever it says. You've got to read with a doing in your mind. It won't work until you start doing it. Don't wait till you feel like it. Don't wait until you think that, you know, it's going to be easier. No. Do it. Don't tell me try. Try never does it. Do it. Let's all say, do it. That's what you have to do. Don't question it. Don't make a big deal out of it. If He says, love your enemy, love them. If you don't have an enemy, He'll give you one. That's right. He's going to teach you how to love an enemy. You got to get one. Sometimes you ought to thank God for an enemy. He may tell you some things about you that nobody else will tell you. And He may be right. So you want to, if you want to know Jesus Christ, you're going to find out that you're going to get a revelation of who you are and what's in you. All these young people said, I'm trying to find myself. Buddy, when you ever find yourself, you'll still be lost. A lost man can't find himself. You got to get somebody to come back where you are and pull you out of them woods. Amen. These kids that went on back in the 60s went on this journey, whatever they called it, and they had a big deal about, you know, yoga and all those Eastern religions and so on. And they're all trying to find something out here. I'll come to the LA airport one time, and when I was going to be leaving to go out, and a plane just come in, and there was a whole bunch of those flower people there, young people. They wasn't embarrassed how they looked, how they acted. And off of the plane came must have been an Indian man with a long beard and long robe. And those kids, college-age kids, smart-looking kids, did the dumbest thing I ever saw. They bowed to him. He's reached over and touched them and smiled and kept going. Just to have him to touch them. I thought, you go to college, but you don't have no sense. If you got any sense at all, it's not a man that you worship. You worship the mighty God. And if you're going to find yourself, you're going to find yourself in the book. And when you find yourself in the book, it's going to be a remedy for it. Because God didn't reveal it to just to condemn you. He wants to save you from that. Now, what I like about knowing about him, I found out. He doesn't want me lost. Now, I may do things he doesn't want me to do. But he's not going to give up on me. He's going to keep working on me. Because he wants me to be saved. I had an uncle that backslid for 40 years. He got offended at the pastor 40 years before. I don't recall if I ever saw him in the 40 years, maybe once at a funeral. But for 40 years, he was backslid. He come through my town, never called me. I don't know why he's upset at me. I had nothing to do with it. But he raised his family in a backslidden condition. And one day when I was at home, and to my surprise, a phone rang, and I picked up the receiver and said, hello. And he said, hello. You may not know who this is, but I think I recognize this voice. He said, this is Watson. I said, well, man, Watson, I haven't seen you for years. How you doing? He said, well, I want to call and tell you. I'm in a hospital with cancer, and I thought God would never hear me again. But I prayed through, and God did touch me and renewed my walk with God. And I'm happy that I can be able to say, I prayed through. I was thrilled with that, because he's getting up in the years. Now he has cancer. A few days later, he called me back, and he was rejoicing over what he said. I haven't felt God. I just didn't feel God. You see, we lean on feelings a whole lot. The Bible said, you know, if you'll repent, I can forgive. But as long as you hold that bitterness and grudge in your heart, you're going to find out you're going to live in the darker world of bitterness. And that's where he lived. Lo and behold, I said, well, boy, I'm so happy, and we rejoiced about it. But in a few days, he called back, and he was sad. I said, what's wrong? What's happened? He said, I got to thinking, I raised my kids and my grandkids, and they don't know this. You talk about a regret. That man had a regret. As time went on, he went to every one of his grandkids and his children. He had four boys. Not one would listen to him. And he said, I lost my family while I was out, and I can't get them back in. I'm telling you, friend, there's a lot of side roads, but you better stay on the freeway. There's a lot of off-ramps, but I want you to tell you what. If you're going to get to the city, you better stay on the highway. Let's praise the Lord. We need you, Jesus. I love you for it, Lord. You're great. You're our God. You're our Redeemer. I love you. I worship you. Praise the Lord. When I think of this, You young people that have moms and dad that serve God, you're privileged. Don't give them a hard time. Be humble enough to be obedient in your house. Reason with your parents. And if you have a problem you can't solve, talk to your pastor about it. You've got some good people around this place. I enjoy working with Brother Marin. And he's got a buddy up north, Brother Limonis. And I like these two guys. They're hungry. And Brother Limonis, I tell you what, I got him branded. He's preaching like me now. When I hear my preaching coming back, I know they got the message. He's preaching on Jesus. I'm telling you, friend, this is the biggest eye-opener I've ever had in my life. You may not know it, you may not recognize it, but I'm telling you, when you ever get your eyes on Jesus, it's going to be a different flesh, different world, different everything about you. It's better than when I got the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah! There's no God like our God. And I'm not going to settle for just a little bit of a glimpse. I want to know Him. I want to walk with Him. I want to talk with Him. And He's invited for us to do that. But what brought me to this, I have to give you that background and I can go from there. I've been in the ministry for some years, I don't know, probably 40. And I got tired of just having good service and no change. You understand what I mean? I don't mean I got tired of God and the church per se, but I didn't have the change. And I got hungry. And at that time, it's probably 10, 11 years ago, I'd wake up early in the morning. It was kind of new to me. I was getting older, you can see. And I got up early, rested, and I didn't feel tired or anything. It could be 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I'd go into the kitchen area to walk and pray and worship. Because I kept telling the Lord, I got to know You. I know UPC, I know camp meetings, and I know churches, and I know Christians. But Jesus, I want to know You now. Something in me began to cry out. I can't substitute anything we're doing for You. I've got to find out how to know You. And I cried out to Him night after night. I wasn't discouraged. I wasn't upset. I wasn't pressured. I just felt good doing it. I can't explain it to you. Some folks always put a big heavy burden on you and I was crying. No, I was rejoicing. I felt good every time I said, I love You, but I don't know You well enough. You got to come close. Make it plain, Jesus. I can't understand some things. You got to make it clear, Lord. Me, I don't know. I'm just a human. You're God. Help me. I got to find You. I just kept that up. It drove me to that. Even right now, I feel it. You know, you got to realize that you're not just another church, another building, another group of people. You've got a living God here. You've got the Almighty God. You've got the only God. His name is Jesus. And He's worthy of your worship and your praise. And He's worth knowing. And I looked in the Scriptures and began to see some things. There was people that was with Him but didn't know Him. He said, I'm with you, disciples, now, but there's going to come a time I'm going to be in you. We're living in that day. We're this side of Calvary. He lives in here, He walks in here, and He talks in here. Daniel prayed and fasted for 21 days to get through to the glory world. He's right here. You may be tested, but he's not off in the high yonder. He's living in my spirit and my soul. You don't have to worry about Him leaving. He's there. He's just remember, He's close. You say, I can't feel God. You don't go by what you feel. You go by what you know. I feel like that this roof is going to be safe to be in here. The reason I am safe, I've got a knowledge that was built on a good foundation. passed inspection. Now you don't even think about it. If God shakes you like he shook us the other day, we start thinking about how good it is. Because every earthquake reveals a foundation. It reveals the building. And if this thing goes to shaking, them lamps are coming down, everybody will make a door. Don't you worry. We're going to get out of here. Because you no, because of what I know. I know if I stay here, it'll kill me. You just get up and get out. Get going. If you can't find a door, you just make one. But because you know something. If you know him, it doesn't have to be an inspiration to get you to do it. You know what he said and you start doing it. And in my search, and it was a blessed time, I look forward to it. It was not a dreary time at all. There come a time that I began to tell him, I wanted him to feel how bad I wanted him. And I said, Jesus, I'm tired of church. I'm tired of camp meetings. I'm tired of all these meetings. And I'm in them all the time. If going to church saves you, I got it made. But Jesus, that doesn't take the place of me knowing you. Now, I repeat it again so you don't misunderstand it. It wasn't the services. It was me. I enjoyed, but it didn't change. Am I connecting? I hope I am. Say something. If you don't, raise your hand. We're just teaching. You can raise your hand and we'll answer questions. Because I don't like to feel like I'm just poking out a lot of information to fill your brain. I want to get the Word of God and get Jesus in your spirit and in your heart and in your thoughts and in your mind to where you're going to live different than you ever lived. I don't mean you're not living good right now. But look, if eternity is without end and you'll still be learning, don't you think we can learn a little more now? That's what I'm after. And so I began to press him. There's nothing I want besides you, Jesus. This is my heart's cry, is I have to know you. And then I tell this every time I go to teaching this. If you heard it before, you're hearing it again. What brought me to it is one morning when I was just enjoying it, I paused and stood a while, and he spoke inside of me again. He said, if you want to get close to me, you have to learn how to handle rejection. And I tell you what, I never thought about that. But immediately when he said it, I was at this position. I raised my head and poked my finger in the sky, and I said, Jesus, how did you do it? He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. I said, Jesus, when I get there, please help me to do it like you did it. And I mean it, friend. I want to do it just like he did it. I tell you what, I had an experience with that. And God helped me and it worked. I'm trying to get across to you. If you're going to really know him, you've got to be able to overcome criticism. You've got to overcome peer pressure. You've got to overcome people that's going to make light of it. The lukewarm, the half-hearted, the indifferent, the don't cares. You've got to get away from feeling they're rejecting me. Hey, I want you to know something. I want him to accept me. And if they reject me, I've got to learn how to handle that. Are we okay? Amen. Good. I want to know you're getting it. Because Jesus was despised and rejected. And if you're going to learn how to know him, you're going to taste some of the spit, some of the dirt, some of the dust, some of the stench of a Calvary experience going up to Calvary. When you get close to him, it isn't always going to be sweet, sweet, sweet. There'll be some suffering in it. And I'm telling you right now, suffering is a part of knowing him. If we suffer with him, we'll reign with him. We get the idea, I've got to feel good. Make me feel good, preacher. I'm here to tell you, there's sometimes I don't need to feel good. I need to feel the burden of the Spirit of the Lord and have a conviction in my spirit that I can suffer with Christ. For Christ's sake, we do some things. And right now, I want you to learn, God expects us to have church, no matter what the past has been. You serve Jesus. Come on. You're going to serve Jesus. I'm not serving man. I'm not serving the organization. I'm serving Jesus Christ. He's my true love. He's my joy. He's my peace. He's my righteousness. Oh, he's everything. And this is where I feel like God was bringing me to that. And I loved it. I won't tell you the experience, but he brought me to a place where it was some of my situation that I prayed before I went. And I said, "Now, Lord, I know what's going to happen in some ways, I believe. But I want you to be with me." And one of my good friends, Brother Shoemaker, Elder Shoemaker, he said, "I wouldn't go without somebody going with you." I said, "No, I'm going to go. I'm going to go by myself." I had an experience. I want to tell you, when it was over, I felt good. Now, if you can feel good after you've been criticized and found fault with and falsely accused, and you can still feel good, you got Jesus. Amen? Young people, what about us? You see, sometimes you don't realize that a test will produce twice as much. In our area, we have grapes, and in the winter time when they prune those things, you look like they're dead. I've had people go through, "Are these trees?" I said, "No, they're vines. They're grapevines." He said, "Well, are they dead?" "No. They prune them back. Because without pruning, you don't produce quality. You produce a lot of wild limbs and leaves, but you don't produce quality. So they have to prune it back." And I'm here to tell you, Jesus said, "I prune you that I might get fruit." Then after a while, he says, "I do it and get closer that I might get much fruit." What's he saying? We've all got to be pruned back. Now, how does he prune you back? He touches that in you that's not really consecrated. Somebody's going to come up and make you angry. You're going to blame them for it. No, you're required to take care of your own situation. It's how you react that makes the difference. It's not what they did to you, it's how you reacted to what they did. You're going to find out being rejected is not something new, because it's all around you. There's people on your job that rejects you. There's the boss that rejects you when you ask for a raise. You go home feeling like you're defeated. You get fired off of the job and you think, "Oh, he rejected me." But one of the worst rejections that I can think of is a divorce. People that loved each other, and now they're divorcing. The biggest thing that hurts is, "I'm being rejected. I wasn't good enough." And that rejection produces hate, bitterness, and all kinds of things. So you got to know how to handle that. Amen? Now, it's going to come. Christian or not Christian, it's going to come. Life has all these rejections in it. And if you're going to get down in the dumps over them, you're going to have to learn how to handle it, because there is no doubt in my mind that God doesn't raise hothouse plants. You don't live in a church of 72 degrees, nice pews, nice air conditioner. You live in the wicked old world where the wind blows, the trees fall down, people go. You live in the cyclone, the storms, and all the rest of it. But I'm here to tell you, if you learn how to walk with Jesus Christ, he'll help you to walk on water. Let's praise him. Hallelujah. I praise you, Father. Blessed be your name. When you get hungry and you get thirsty to know Jesus Christ, it's something in you that pushes you, drives you. Starving people have no manners. They'll eat out of the garbage can. They'll snatch it from you and cram it in their mouth. And I want you to know, when you really begin to know Jesus Christ and you want to learn to know more about him, get so hungry and so thirsty, you just cram it in. You lose a lot of your self-consciousness and a lot of your pride out of the way. I've got to have him. I've got to have him. I've got to get him. And I can tell you, friend, that little woman that pressed herself through that crowd, she said, I've got to touch him. I've got to touch him. Oh, I tell you what, when you get that kind of feeling that drives you into him, you're going to find out that he's waiting for you. Hallelujah. You're going to find that you and him are going to know each other now. Why did the war produce so many men that went back to Normandy here just a few years ago just to be able to get a reunion of those fellows? Because suffering produces buddies. It produces friendships. It produces loyalty. And those men went back and wept and cried when they looked at the beach where it was so beautiful. Now it was bloodstained. Corpse everywhere, but suffering brought them together. I'm telling you what, church, when we suffer together, we're going to reign together. When we live through the hard places, we're going to find that Jesus is a mighty God. He's your healer. He's your deliverer. He's your salvation. He's your God. He's the one I'm serving. Amen. Peter said, who shall we go to? We don't have nobody to go to. You can come here from any place, but you can't go here to no place.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Well, what a tremendous message. First part of the message from Brother Paul Price, Gideon's 300. And if you notice at the very beginning, I made a note here. One of the very first things that he began to talk about was intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer. What is that? He said, it's praying for others in their place. That's how the whole message started. He talked about an experience that he had as a young man. Pastor Clark mentioned this to me early on. When Brother Paul Price was a young man, he was not quite in, not quite out. And the Lord told him to make the decision, either get in or get out. But he also said how Jesus did something in him to make me want to know him better. Jesus did something in me to make me want to know him better. And we would hear that recurring theme in Brother Paul Price's ministry. I want to know him better. I want to know him better. He also talked about don't just try. Don't just try. Do it. Just do it. We got to raise up the level of our conviction. Don't question it. Just do it. He talked about having good church is not enough. I need change. I need to change. And of course, towards the end, he brought it back again. Jesus, I want to know you. I want to know you. He is my true love. Praise God. And even as Brother Paul Price was preaching tonight, you probably caught it. He is an amazing teacher, a great teacher. I want to make sure that I get Jesus into you. He even said at one point, hey, if I'm not getting any response, raise your hand. I want to make sure I'm not just here talking, wasting time. I want to make sure that I'm getting this into you. He also talked about pruning back. Sometimes the Lord needs to prune back so that he can get good fruit. And of course, at the very end, suffering produces unity among us. And as at the end of all this, I thought, you know, that's interesting. The title of the message is Gideon's 300, and I didn't really hear a lot about Gideon or Gideon's 300. But as I made these notes, I began to realize these are all the ingredients. These are all the different pieces of the puzzle, the components that are required in order to take a great army and to trim it down, to prune it down, to refine it, to those that are willing and desirous to fight in the Lord's army and to see what God wants to bring out of this church. And praise God, I know that our church is full of these types of individuals who are willing to prune back, who are willing to suffer and to sacrifice to see the Lord's will be done in our church. Praise God. I hope everyone is feeling the Holy Ghost tonight. And once again, please be praying and meditating upon everything that we heard tonight. And we look forward to seeing everyone on Wednesday night service. Praise the Lord. God bless all of you. In Jesus' name, have a great night. Amen.